It is 4 p.m. on September 31st. There is a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To you. All right, bringing us up to item number 3 on today's agenda. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for September 21, 2021. Austin, do we have any changes to today's agenda?
We do, Mr. Chairman. Just one. It would be to move item number 10. This is a resolution honoring Joe Curtis's retirement to the October 5 County Commission meeting here at the Story County Courthouse. And on Zoom. This will allow Joe to invite friends and family and prepare for that.
Noted. Thank you. All right. With the change noted, is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Anybody on Zoom that would like to chime in, you can use the raise your hand feature or star 6 to unmute yourself. As a reminder, public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I move to approve today's agenda with the noted change.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number 4 is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Anyone with public comment in the audience, feel free to come up. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman, do you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as listed.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Vanessa, is there a way we can turn the volume up?
Trying right now.
All right, thank you. All right, moving right along to item number 5. This is discussion only. No action or public comment will be taken. This is staff reports. We're going to go ahead and start off today with the Sheriff's Office.
Thank you, Commissioner. Only thing I have is just a reminder that Street Vibrations is coming up this weekend, so be prepared for lots of noise, lots of traffic, and be cautious in your travels. Be lots of motorcycles out there.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving on to next is the Fire Department. Chief Longcar, do you have anything for us today?
Hi, guys. I'm going to get real quick. Just on update some of the fires regionally. We're getting back some resources. Right now, we only have 2 people and 1 piece of equipment dedicated to the Caldor fire. You know, we're performing rehab, so that's a good thing. Other than that, we're just building up for the events that are coming up, some of our bigger events. We are holding up some of our staffing and only sending out for immediate need for our neighbors.
Great.
And that's all I have for the time. Thank you,
Chief. All right, moving right along to Public Works, Jason Wurzbicki.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners. Just a quick thing, we're still working on shoulders and drainage down in Mark Lane. Very soon we're going to be ramping up or gearing up for winter battle, for lack of better words. So hopefully we do get some water and we're good to go. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jason. Any fellow commissioners have any questions for Jason?
No, thank you.
All right. Moving on to projects. Mike Northan. Is he with us today? No. No problem. We'll move on to communications dispatch. I don't see Becky on there either. Emergency management, Joe Curtis.
I'm here.
All right, Joe.
I tried to find the right spot here. Thank you. I do have a couple of quick items. As you recall, last week we were looking at the possibility of having what was referred to as a PSOM event, and the which is the Public Service Outage Management Program from NV Energy, wherein if the wind and weather and humidity and all of the indicators for a potential significant fire incident due to a failure of a power line would occur, that certain things would occur with NV Energy to shut power down and so forth. So it was at one time last week, it was considered that that would possibly occur for the Highlands in particular. And as you are well aware, the weather gods out there apparently decided that we did not need any wind, which was actually very good. It actually turned out to be a very nice, pleasant, windless day for the most part on the Comstock. However, the pre-planning process and the preparedness and discussions that we held between Austin and myself and Laura and the fire department and fire department battalion chiefs and so forth proved to be a good exercise in making sure that we were prepared and giving the right thought processes to functioning within one of these PSOM type of events. So it was actually quite useful in going through that because PSOM events are new to us in Northern Nevada. Apparently they occur on a regular basis in California. And so it was valuable work through and preparedness exercise. And hopefully it piqued the awareness of some of our residents as to preparedness for those kinds of things, power outages and so forth, as we look forward into the winter and the winter months and the various weather incidents that we have there. That being said, weather and the winter updates are another factor that we have going. We're talking with the National Weather Service in Reno, and Laura is working with them to schedule a date where we can have a weather update and discussion related to what the weather is likely to do or possibly would do during the course of this coming winter. It would be a Zoom event, and we would be able to have all of our county officials and so forth participate in that weather thing to get some update on that. That specific date hasn't been set yet. We proposed one date, but it didn't quite come through. We're looking at a couple of other dates to get that going so everyone can get a direct from the weather guys and the weather dudes and dudettes, as we call them, from the National Weather Service in Reno, what they see the winter to potentially be like. Other than that, unless there are some questions, that's all I have for you.
Thank you, Joe. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Joe?
No questions. Thank you, Joe.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Joe. Community Relations, Laura Mather.
Thank you. For the record, Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator. As of today, our community project grant is now open. The applications will be due no later than Friday, November 5th, in my office. I'm hoping that we can really work on getting the word out to all of our communities, so I'm asking the commissioners and county staff to help me do that, to help me get the word out about this grant to our communities. RAD Strategies is putting it out on social media. We're going to have it on the county website. We'll have the applications, the instructions. Anybody can call me about any question, 847-0986. I will happily mail an application. I will hand deliver an application. I will fax an application, whatever, so that we can get those out to our community and start that process. And so just as a reminder, this is the community project grant. It's specifically for projects that help the community as a whole. So a couple of things that I was thinking of would be new equipment, playground stuff for parks, walking trails, a covered bus stop for the kiddos, anything, again, that really directly helps the community. And this is the the grants that's up to $10,000 for each of our three designated community areas. So again, anybody can reach out to me, and I'll help them through that process and fill out the application and everything.
Laura, just to confirm, so basically there's just a change in the way that this money is going to be requested.
Correct.
Okay.
So let me clarify that. So it's a change in how it's requested, but it's a change also in how it's spent. So once the community chooses a project, it goes through the process and it's accepted, then county staff, myself and Honey will take over, Honey Tapley will take over the project, make sure it's completed through to the end of it. So the county will actually take over the actual building of the project as far as managing that.
Okay. Would you be able to furnish the commissioners a PDF version of that?
Mm-hmm.
So we can disperse that as we need to?
Absolutely, yes. All that's right. a great idea. Okay, on to COVID updates. Last Thursday, we were up to 13 new cases in a week. That was up from 8 the previous week, so we will continue to be under the stricter mask mandate. Our last COVID testing was at the Mark Twain Community Center on September 15th. It was down about half from the testing that we did before to about 24 people. So we're seeing quite a variance in both testing and vaccination at the sites that we are doing. That is the end of my report, unless anybody has any questions. But I, Stacy from the Senior Center is at another meeting, so she wanted me to remind everybody about the flu shots that are coming up. So September 30th at the Mark Twain Community Center, October 7th both at the Virginia City Senior Center and the Lockwood Senior Center, and October 13th at the Virginia City Highlands Fire Station.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura?
No questions. Thank you, Laura.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you.
Thank you for that report.
Thank you.
Do we have anything from Honey Tapley today?
I have nothing here today.
Thank you. Moving right along to the VCTC, Denny Dotson.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I guess like Sheriff Antonora mentioned with the street vibes, it's really just one again, probably every event. We've got some new stuff coming this fall. We have the Grand Prix obviously moving into the fall, along with a rodeo and now a monster truck event, a national monster truck event going to come to Virginia City in November. So, yeah, some new stuff that's going to help, which is traditionally, you know, all weekend business this time of year. And then finally, I just wanted to mention, I don't know if Austin was going to talk about it, the Nevada Recovers Framework discussion, I think, is with some of the governor's office representatives on October 4th. They've reached out to us, but there'll be some discussion on that and on the meeting on, again, more infrastructure-type stuff and ARPA-type funds that be distributed for Story County. And so it's important that we get a lot of participation on it.
All right. Thank you, Denny. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Denny?
No questions. Thank you, Denny.
Hey, sure.
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report.
Yep.
Moving on to water sewer. I don't see Mike on there today. So we'll move on to the comptroller's office.
Nothing new for me today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I don't see our assessor on today. Planning Department, Kathy.
Good afternoon. I have nothing new except the items I have on the agenda later.
Thank you, Kathy. How about the recorder's office? Is she on today? No. How about the IT department?
Nothing to report today, commissioners. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Human Resources, Toby. No Toby. Community Development, Pete Renault.
Good morning, commissioners, or good afternoon, commissioners. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Pete. Thank you.
Yeah, I was having a little problem with my audio. Last meeting, I failed to inform you that we issued a certificate of occupancy for the FISA Krupp facility out at the industrial park. They're an elevator company that manufactures and installs elevators. Kind of the highlight for the last 2 weeks we've had out there in the park. Other than that, I have nothing more to add.
All right. Thank you for that, Pete. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Community Chest. Do we have Eric Schoen with us today? No. That'll bring us on to the Justice Court. Do we have anything from the judge today?
Nothing today.
All right. How about the DA's office?
We're actually presenting later on, Ann Langer, District Attorney, on item 11.
All right, noted. Thank you. County Manager Osborne, you have anything for us today?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one thing. I know Commissioner Mitchell may want to mention, too, but we have landed another company out of Tri-Center, roughly 500 acres of research and development and manufacturing of lithium batteries called Nanotech. So very excited about that company.
Great. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Last but not least, the clerk. Got something. All right.
Last week, Story County hosted the 76th Annual County Fiscal Officers Association Conference. And I just wanted to say thank you to all the departments and organizations that stepped up and made it a success. It's always amazing to see our team pull together like it did. And we knocked it out of the park. It was a great conference. So thank you to everybody.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right. That sums up our staff reports. Moving us right along to item number six, which is board comments. I'm going to go to Commissioner Gilman first.
I have nothing to say today. Thank you, Jay.
All right. Thanks, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I just have a couple of things. The first one is I just want to send a big thank you to all the county officials, elected officials, and Eileen Gay out in Painted Rock, who called in at a meeting about innovation zones this morning. Lots of participation and excellent information that I think really gave this legislative committee a good picture of really what's going on here in the county and will help them evaluate the proposal properly. So a big thank you there. Austin mentioned the other one. Pretty excited about this company, Nanotech Energy. It's not a lithium battery company. It's actually a graphene battery company. I didn't know what that was. Basically graphite, you know, like pencil lead. Apparently the top layer is the graphene, and it's really hard and really good at storing energy and potentially much safer and much more efficient, both at charging and holding energy than lithium. So kind of cool. They've been doing a lot of research and development, and they're building their main production facility right out here in TRI, as well as research and development, four different pads, all sorts of, it's going to be really neat. So excited about that coming in. The ink is drying on that. It closed yesterday. And then I just wanted to echo what Laura said about, you know, cases of COVID have been a little higher in the county over the last few weeks. We're still on a rolling 30-day average. We're at like a third to a quarter of any of the surrounding counties. But for us, it's up substantially from what it's been through the previous months. And I just mention that because I want to make sure that people have good information. They know that it's among us. It's a little more prevalent than it has been in the past. And so that people can make proper decisions to protect their health, especially if they have factors that make it so that they need to, they have risks and what have you. So just thought I'd put that out there. That's all I got.
Thank you very much for that. I don't have much today, but I will echo what Vice Chairman Mitchell said today. The meeting regarding innovation zones was long. Staff participation and the work that they put in is unbelievable. You know, the amount of hours that we've spent, working on this project. I just want to say thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell was there on behalf of the commission. I was able to watch all 6.5 hours of it. It was definitely full of a lot of information, but very proud of staff and, very proud of Vice Chairman Mitchell. You all did a great job today. So
thank you.
Just want to say thank you. And that is all I have today. That will bring us on to item number seven. This is discussion for possible action. Presentation and discussion on Western Nevada Development District Regional Broadband Mapping Project and request for WNDD member, including Story County, to contribute $2,850 to pay for the $40,000 project cost.
It's Des Craig.
Des Craig, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, County Commissioners. My name is Des Craig, and thank you very much for this opportunity to present to you today. Today I'm representing Western Nevada Development District, WNDD as it's more commonly known, and I think it's well known here in Story County. It's an economic development district designated by the Economic Development Administration of the U.S. Department of Commerce. It's a member-driven organization, currently has 7 counties and 7 municipalities and 18 associate members here in northwestern Nevada. And its mission is to work in regional collaboration with public and private entities to create an environment within which economic development can occur. So we're essentially a economic development planning agency, and we also are a purveyor of funding for primarily infrastructure that gets the scene set for economic development. We're not a regional development authority, as you will appreciate. Regional development authorities work under the state, under GOED. They go out and recruit businesses and bring businesses in. We don't do that. We're a step before that, getting the community ready. So Story County has been a member of WNDD for many years, and we certainly appreciate the support that we've had from Story County in years gone by. I'm here today. I'd like to make a recommendation, a couple of recommendations. I'd actually like to recommend that you approve funding to Western Nevada Development District at a cost not to exceed $2,850 in order to conduct a region-wide broadband mapping project. And the second recommendation is to approve community outreach support from Story County, working with us, with WNDD, to inform and engage residents, businesses, and institutions here in the county to participate in this broadband mapping project. And I'll explain why that's important as we go on, but those are the two recommendations that I bring to you today. And by way of summary, let me just give you a brief overview of this project. At the WNDD board meeting in June, at the end of June, this mapping project was presented and unanimously approved by our board, of which Commissioner Mitchell represents Story County. And as part of that approval, staff were directed to develop a report for presentation to all of our local government member agencies with those recommendations that I just mentioned. And I hope you've had an opportunity to take a look at that report, which was sent in earlier. Mm-hmm. The mapping project, when complete, will produce a map of the WNDD region, including Story County, of course, identifying areas at street level that are most in need of reliable, affordable access to broadband service. And now, in addition to just the map, it's going to be more than just a map, because in addition to the map, we'll have loaded in GIS information on the region that will be used then as a tool to develop infrastructure project grant applications. We'll discuss that in a few more minutes in more detail. Help you to prepare grant applications for communities, resulting hopefully in more robust broadband connectivity across the region. So the initial data showing connectivity gaps and the GIS data which will be uploaded to the map will cost $40,000, which divided across our 14 members is $2,850 per local government member. So that's the overview. A little bit more detail on the background and on the project itself. Broadband connectivity across the region, it's spotty. In places, it's okay. In most of the region, it's generally poor. And we realized this back, well, earlier, and in 2020, when we were preparing our comprehensive economic development strategy in 2020, we included a project in there called a Broadband Needs Assessment Project. It never got done. It never got started because of COVID-19. Instead, we got funding from the CARES Act, federal funding, to do an economic recovery and resiliency plan. And that plan has just recently been completed. In fact, it's on our website for you to read. And as part of that planning project, we assembled teams. We got teams together to discuss issues and challenges as a result of COVID-19. The number one issue identified by all of the teams was reliable, affordable broadband connectivity, especially in rural areas and in underserved communities. So it was determined pretty early on this year, March, April of this year, that this had to be a priority of WNDD. So we started doing research. We reached out to other states. We reached out to universities and research labs across the country. And we looked at best practices throughout the US on how this broadband connectivity issue is being addressed elsewhere. We also reached out, of course, to our own state and the Office of Science, Innovation, Technology here, and we engaged with them, and they continue to be a partner as we proceed through this. And we also set up what we call our Regional Broadband Action Team, consisting of board members, WNDD board members, met a number of times, and the team met and decided that there was more data needed. We needed to have more data before we could really discern the areas that are in need of reliable, affordable access to broadband service. Sure, everybody will say, well, I could do with better broadband. But to get it more specific and to get it more accurately, we felt that an interactive broadband map was the way forward. It's one way of collecting and collating this data requirement. So as we researched this, we discovered we're not alone here. This is a problem that's all over the country. It's been talked about all over the country. And the federal government has wakened up to this as well. And there's a lot of money becoming available, and even has already been made available, to try and fix, what you might say, or try and address this problem of this digital divide. ARPA funding, for example, provided funding. EDA has got $3 billion, that's the Economic Development Administration, $3 billion out of ARPA. Some of that can go towards broadband projects. The governor... he got money, or the government, the state got money, and they're out talking to various communities at the moment to decide how that money can be spent. Some of that may be spent on broadband connectivity as well. There's a new act which is coming through the House of Representatives toward the end of this month, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Bill. $65 billion has been allocated for broadband there. So there's a lot of money going to become available here in the near future, and it behoves us all to be ready to take advantage of this funding when it becomes available. So in order to do that, what is the project? Well, we're going to engage a consultant and set up a website, and this will be a landing page for folks in the community, residents and the public in general, to go onto that landing page, onto that website, and to undertake a speed test. So it's what we call crowdsourced data, collecting primary information from community members throughout Story County, but throughout the whole of the region, in order to map what they're getting, what they're able to download and what they're able to upload at in terms of speed. And the effectiveness of this, of course, will depend upon the number of people we can get to actually take the speed test. That's why that second element is very important, that not just do we need money to pay the consultant to do the actual mapping, but we need to have your support in going out to the community and telling them, please engage and go online and take the speed test. We'll set up all the information that's required for that outreach, but we'd like to be able to access your platforms, your social media connections and so forth, and we need your help and support and success in doing that. While that's going on and while those data points are being generated and created for the mapping project, the consultant also, as I said earlier, will be loading in lots of information, GIS information, into the map. Public won't immediately see that, but we, as the owners and users of the data, will be able to see that from the back end, so to speak. Information such as, where is the fiber? How much does it cost to lay fiber, optical fiber? Where are the towers? Where are the poles? Information, topographical, demographical information, and so on. The information that typically grantors need to have, like USDA and EDA, for grant applications. So that GIS data will provide much of that information to enable us to take a look and see where are the needs, and then enable us to write grant applications, or enable you to write grant applications with assistance from ourselves for projects that ultimately will bring infrastructure to the area. So the map will show clearly where the deficiencies are, and more importantly, it will supply that accurate data for grant applications. As I said, a lot of money is coming down the pike. We need to be ready for that. As far as cost and financial impact are concerned, as I've mentioned, the actual mapping will cost $40,000 to $150 per member. The consultant will be brought in. In fact, I've already gone out to the marketplace with terms of reference, with a request for services, hopefully getting some applications or some proposals in this week, and be able to review those and get the consultant engaged, building a website, creating the software, creating that GIS information, training WNDD and other members on how to utilize that information and then providing assistance for grant applications. And benefits, the benefits of the map, well, clearly it will demonstrate broadband speeds and needs at a street level. It will show where improvements in connectivity are needed, demonstrate to the community here in Storey County that you, the commissioners, are committed to strengthening and expanding broadband connectivity. And as I said earlier, it will enable us to write grant applications for some of this funding at state and federal level that is becoming available for this very purpose. I will caution, I will mention that this is not meant to be a panacea. It's not going to cure all of our connectivity issues or connectivity problems overnight. In fact, I had a diagram on my PowerPoint presentation just to show that mapping is just the beginning step to grant applications, to project funding, to community projects, to infrastructure, ultimately to better connectivity. So there's going to be a progression here in terms of how this map will be utilised and hopefully what it will do in terms of impact on connectivity. I think I'll bring my presentation to a conclusion at that point. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. If I can't answer them, I'll tell you. I can't answer them, try and get you the answers. But that essentially is an overview of our presentation or our proposal. And appreciate the time today and look forward to your support as we go forward with this. I will just say in closing that we expect to get started this at sometime early October. And it'll take about 6 to 8 weeks to complete the mapping process. And by that time, we expect by the end of eight weeks, Thanksgiving or thereabouts, in early December, we would hope that there will be enough statistical data, critical mass, will be accumulated from speed tests on the map to make it significant. But it's not going to be a static map like many of the maps are at the moment. FCC and NTIA maps are kind of static. They're just stuck there in time. This will be a developing, growing, evolving map as more and more people take the exercise or take the speed test and upload their data points.
Thank you for that, Mr. Craig. I'm going to go to my fellow commissioners before I go to public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mr. Craig?
No questions. Thank you, Jason.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions for Mr. Craig. I'm just curious from an internal perspective, as this is not an expense that was previewed in our last budget cycle. I just want to make sure that we're not having to do too much hop skipping around to make sure if it's something that we do decide to approve.
Yeah, I think we're good.
We are.
Covered? Okay. All right. Is there any public comment? Oh, sir.
Say the controller's on in case she wants to talk about an augment or anything like that, but we will be okay.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Mr. Craig, you are free. If there's no other questions, you want to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And I guess my question as I look at a motion is, does it make sense for me to include the second recommendation from WNDD in that motion? Or is that kind of can we kind of have that be implied? With the second one being that we would support the community outreach efforts on this.
I would say it's implied, but if you feel comfortable including it, I'm good with that, too.
Okay. All right. Then I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a contribution not to exceed $2,850 to Western Nevada Development District to be applied to its $40,000 project, creating a regional broadband map for Storey County and Nevada, and to lend our support to publicizing and promoting said study.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Again, thank you, Mr. Craig, for coming up. Appreciate you showing up late in the afternoon. All right, look forward to that study. Item number 8, this is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of naming a newly acquired Storey County access easement to the Virginia City Fairgrounds property. Kathy?
Yes, thank you. So we recently acquired an access easement that goes from F Street down to the Fairgrounds property, and we wanted to name that street so that we can put up a street sign and have visitors to the area help them with their navigation of finding places. So staff is proposing that this access easement area be called Fairgrounds Street. This doesn't line up with any of the streets, the Virginia City platted subdivision streets So we thought this what name itself really was descriptive of where you would be going on it. So that's staff's recommendation.
All right. Thank you for that, Kathy. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Anybody else have any better names? No? Fairground Street? Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Kathy?
I support the issue.
Vice Chairman?
You know, I'm kind of partial to tailings pile away, but that probably describes about half the town. So.
I'm sorry. Did not see Jim Hindle out there on Zoom. Mr. Hindle, you have the floor.
Just a quick public comment, not to go against staff recommendation in any way, but in my mind, a street is usually through, and doesn't this just dead end right into the fairground? So would Fairground Way be a better way to reference it? That's just food for thought.
Thank you for that, Mr. Hindle. Public comment has been noted.
If Kathy doesn't.
Yep, either Kathy or Austin, you guys fight over.
I could just say that we chose street because all the names of the streets say street, Flowery Street, and that we were just being consistent with that. I don't think we have really any objection to way or road or that. We were just using street to be consistent with the others.
And planning manager Canfield's right. We did discuss this. The road does connect to another road, and it's a little bit of spaghetti down there in that area, like everything else in Virginia City is what really exists compared to what the maps show. But it will end up connecting down to I Street or L Street, depending on what's going to happen in the future. And street was consistent, but we talked about some other items too, or okay. Other options. Thank you.
Thank you, County Manager. Does Jim Hindle want round two of public comment, or he just didn't lower his hand?
If I may, Mr. Chair, I just want to say just my comment, but I understand what Kathy's saying, so I don't want to be an impediment.
Thank you, Jim. All right, so I already asked you if you have questions for Kathy?
No, I don't think so.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Kathy on this?
No, although I almost want this to be a divisive issue, the street crowd versus the way crowd, and have a full courtroom of people yelling about which one it should be.
Does anybody else want to get involved?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any input on this?
Well, I prepared to second the motion.
All right. So if nobody wants to battle over way and street, then Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I think we'll go with staff's recommendation in this regard. In accordance with the recommendation of staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the name Fairground Street with the access easement located between F and I and L streets south of Flowery Street right-of-way to access the Fairgrounds property within Virginia City, Story County, Nevada.
I'll second that motion.
You know, that Fairgrounds Way is starting to really...
It's growing on you?
It is growing on me.
Do you need me to retract the motion?
No, it's too late. all right, so we've got a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Jim, for your comments. That's gonna be a problem going forward. All right, item number 9. This is a discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of 2021-41 parcel map request by applicants Larry Ryan and John and Eileen Harrington. The applicants request to merge three existing 40-acre parcels, lots 271S, lot 272S, and lot 278S into one, then re-subdivide them to create two approximately 60-acre parcels. Properties are located at 27100, 27200, and 27800 Hillside Road, Virginia Ranches neighborhood of Story County, in Nevada, of Assessor's Parcel Number 004-271-55-56 and 69. Kathy?
Yes, thank you. So this is a parcel map request for a merger and a re-subdivision of three 40-acre parcels to become two 60-acre parcels. So there's three parcels that exist out there today. There's two parcels owned by each applicant, and then there's a shared ownership in the middle. And what they're proposing to do is split the parcel that has the shared ownership and then consolidate those pieces into their individually owned parcels. As part of this motion, staff's requesting the commissioners to waive the requirement for the tentative map because of the simplicity of the request itself. Notices were sent out for NRS and no comments were received. The Planning Commission heard this this request at their meeting this last Thursday and recommended unanimous approval, and staff is also recommending approval. I believe the applicants might be attending the meeting.
I see also. Two of them. Oh, Larry Ryan is on Zoom. So, yeah, we have all three here. So, thank you, Kathy. I didn't see you standing there, Larry. Sorry about that. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this item?
No, I do not. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, you? All right, and neither do I. So with that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, to entertain a motion.
Unfortunately, do we need to read findings?
Kathy?
I can read the findings
Hold
for
back
approval.
On findings, yeah. No. Thank you. Please read the findings.
This approval is for a parcel map to merge three existing 40-acre parcels, lots 271S, lot 272S, and lot 278S, into one, then re-subdivide them to create two approximately 60-acre parcels. The properties are located at 27100, 27200, and 27800 Hillside Road, Virginia Ranch's neighborhood of Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number 004-271-55, 56, and 69. Parcel map complies with NRS 278.461 through 278.469 relating to parcel maps and Chapter 16.3 of the Story County Code, including the specific criteria outlined in Section 2.D of the staff report. The parcel map complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to parcel maps. The parcel map will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. Parcel map will not cause the public to be materially injured. The conditions of approval for the requested parcel map do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code, Chapter 17.40E Estate Zone, or any other federal, state, or county regulations.
Thank you for that, Kathy. Vice Chairman.
Great. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings under Section 3A of the staff report, and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby waive the requirement for a tentative map and move to approve a parcel map merging to merge three existing 40-acre parcels, lots 271S, lot 272S, and lot 278S, into one, then re-subdivide them to create two approximately 60-acre parcels. Properties are located at 27100, 27200, and 27800 Hillside Road, Virginia Ranch's neighborhood of Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number 004-271-55, 56, and 69.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy, and congratulations to
thank you.
Everybody. Thank you. All right. Item number 10 has been continued. Moving us on to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and approval of Story County Indigent Defense Service Plan designed to meet the requirements of the state of Nevada in accordance with NRS 260.070 and to comply with the Nevada Supreme Court's orders in ADKT 411. D.A. Langer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, and commissioners, Ann Langer, Story County District Attorney. To explain what is in your packet today as the Story County Plan for Indigent Defenses, Indigent Defense Services. To give you a little bit of background on this situation, as far as certain parts of our plan, the judges have always been in charge of picking conflict counsel and approving expert fees and costs in cases, which is always, from my position, been a very fair situation with regard to Story County, because Story County has always been a fair jurisdiction to their indigents. There was a lawsuit called Davis versus State, which we are not part of, where there was a lawsuit filed against numerous counties in Nevada over the fact that indigents were not receiving proper services. So through this lawsuit, there became a, that I think Justice Cherry put together a committee to discuss a proper way that indigents got proper treatment and services under the ADKT 411 and the Supreme Court orders. So the Department of Indigent Defense Services was created. And in part, and again, I will reiterate, we are not part of the Davis lawsuit. We're actually very different. First Judicial, in the terms of Carson City and Story County, are very different because we actually use the Public Defender's Office, State Public Defender's Office, both of the counties. We're the only two counties in the state that use the Public Defender's Office. As far as how much we use the Public Defender's Office, to give you an example, in the 1920 fiscal year, the public defender's indigent cases were 111 cases. Conflict counsel, when the public defender's office has a conflict, then the judges, in this case, many times, not every single time, but a majority of the cases start in the justice court, and Judge Harrington would pick the conflicts. In the year 2021, in checking with the Justice Court, there were 5 conflict cases. So as you can see, we use the Public Defender's Office 95% of the time. 95%. That's what makes us different to start out. Now, Ms. Reba, who is probably going to talk to you in public comment today, and I really want you to pay attention to what she's saying, but I want you to also understand that Ms. Reba worked at the Public Defender's Office for many, many years. I actually worked with her when I worked in Carson City, and I left Carson in 2006. She was hired as the executive director for DIDS. She is also, so then what happened was the Public Defender's Office has always been under it's a state agency that it was under the Department of Health and Human Services. So the Health and Human Services was the one that supervised, was the one that had input, that the one that basically had the buck stops here regarding the Public Defender's Office. When this new DIDS group has come into effect, the Public Defender's Office was moved from the Department of Health and Safety to the DIDS, Nevada Department of Indigent Defense. So as far as what Ms. Reba has been telling the county members, we were on a committee, all of us, the county manager, myself, Judge Harrington, and Jennifer McCain, to hear about this plan. And virtually what we find with the problems with the plan is that now, generally what you'd have is that the public defender's office would be disqualified from a case because they had a conflict. The judge would make a decision, and as you can see, Lady Justice standing outside with her scales in her hand, and she's not wearing a blindfold. And the way that it is that we've always had checks and balances system in our system. The judge made the decision on these things. It wasn't the defense. It wasn't the prosecution. It was the judges that made the decision on who the conflict counsel would be. It was the judges that made the decision on the expert fees that would be paid. Now, what has happened is that Marcy Reba's organization is the one that gets to pick the conflict counsel that we pay for, that our county pays for. And it is the DIDS, again, the indigent defense, that gets to decide how much expert fees somebody should be paid. Well, since 95% of the cases come out of the case that she manages, there is an inherent conflict of interest. There is a conflict of interest that you can't ride both horses, that the scales of justice have just been swayed. That a perfect example, just the second, you've got two people. One is under the public defender's office, and now the person that runs the public defender's office gets to pick the conflict counsel that the county pays for. In that particular situation, there is no independence, there's no oversight, there is a picture of impropriety, and definitely a lack of impartial. It's as far as the public defender's office, if you're saying, okay, public defender, I'm going to give you the easy case because we're going to give the other defendant to the county, and they're going to have to pay for it. And that same thing occurs with the expert fees. 95% of the expert fees that are going to be paid by our county are originating from the public defender. Now, the DIDS organization, Ms. Reba's organization, she gets to sign off on what she thinks is a reasonable expert fee. However, she also has the right to go back to her office at the public defender's office and say, hey, I see that this case really requires three additional expert witnesses that you have not included. So now we're not just talking about an independent person that's deciding what is reasonable in a case that they are not involved in at all. We have a figurehead of the public defender's office that is the one in a totally different office making the decision on these expert fees. And the people that are paying for it are our taxpayers. The people that are paying for it is our county. And she says, well, sorry, that's a law. I didn't make the law, but here's the thing on this. We're different. We are under the public defender. There is an innate conflict of interest. So when you have an innate conflict of interest, every time that you try to pass this law that you think is right, you create an abuse of discretion case. You create, the conflict is created. So the system is out of kilter. We need to look at checks and balances. So if you would look at our plan, it is identical in nature to the Carson City plan. Our plan encompasses independence. Our plan encompasses an indigent defense coordinator that is going to be independent, impartial, and unbiased in picking the conflict group and also paying the expert fees. Our plan is fair. It works within the First Judicial District because we use the public defender 95% of the time. With this in mind, the Carson City plan was approved on September 16th, and our plan hopefully will be approved today. Carson City's plan, Carson City and myself are planning to go to the DIDS board on October 6th and explain the inherent injustice. Because ironically, what DIDS was signed up to do was to alleviate the inherent injustice. And what we have now is a tipping of the scales, a checks and balances that have to be checked. And we're going to start with the DIDS because if our plan is approved, that's where it would go. And they can tell us whether it works or it doesn't. And the reality is we'll just keep working on it because at this point, because we are different working with the public defender's office, it doesn't work. Now, I'm sure some of the things that Ms. Reba will probably talk to you on public comment would involve a formula that everybody in the state is entitled to, where we're going to get money back. And so the way that it was set, that DIDS was also set to actually pay money back. There's a formula that that the public defender's office has, because they're really the only ones that we've used, which we paid them this year $103,000. According to the statewide formula, we are only we only have to pay 89% back. So that extra money, in theory, we should get that money back as part of just helping the counties out. However, the people that were involved in the Davis versus State lawsuit received $102 million that is being distributed from DIDS to rectify this indigent problem. The problem we have, we're not part of the Davis lawsuit. We're not entitled to any money. And if Ms. Reba is going to try to tell you that we are going to get money back, I want you to know this time around in the legislature, it is unfunded. Meaning whatever she says is our money that is on top of what we get paid, the bottom line is it has not been funded. I am afraid she has called, and I have told her about the conflict of interest, but she still has indicated to me that we're wrong, she's right. And I'm saying that these temporary regulations are in place. And again, my intention is to go before the board with Carson City and straighten this thing out. And with that being said, Judge Harrington has a few words to talk about other parts of the plan that we are working on. And if before we go, there's just a few changes that I wanted to make to the plan, just a few lines. But that is where we're going. I hope that you approve the plan today. I hope that you send us on our quest to make sure that we protect Story County and the taxpayers, to make sure that it's all we want is it to be reasonable. All we want is a fair and impartial person declaring who the conflict counsel are. Although there are only five in a year, that doesn't matter. It's the principle of the thing when your checks and balances are so out of whack that you've got to make sure you've got to start at the bottom. You've got to do, you've got to start now before, because legislative bills, statutes, whatever you get, it doesn't, there's things when you really start doing a deep dive into it that just don't work. And this is one of those things that we believe, Carson City and myself, believe it just doesn't work and that we need to go try to figure it out. So with that, I'm going to give you Judge Harrington. Before you vote, I have just a few amendments. I can give the amendments now if you'd like them. How would you like to do that?
Why don't we hear what Judge Harrington has to say, and then we'll go to public comment, and then maybe we can deal with the amendments.
Okay, thank you.
Judge Harrington, for the record, commissioners, I'm here just to comment on, I'm looking at the DIDS review Story County plan, and did each of you get a copy of that?
It's in the packet.
I believe that there's a question about an open meeting law issue. So I think that needs to go to legal counsel on. I did not mention that directly because I don't believe that that has been provided in a timely fashion in violation of the open meeting law. I don't know if Ms. Reba is even going to talk about that, but if she does, going to be an issue. So,
well, I just wanted to comment on the one recommendation about getting a screening for indigency within the 48 hours that was pointed out. And I wanted to, that's pursuant to Senate Bill 369 that actually goes into effect October 1st, 2021. And what it means is that a booked person within 48 hours has to be screened. So a booked person, once they're booked, they have to be screened as to whether or not they're entitled to a public defender. And that means a financial financial screening and an appointment of counsel. And what I wanted to tell you is we're already doing that. And Ms. Reba and Ms. Langer know that, well, Ms. Reba wouldn't know, but Ms. Langer and the jail knows that I got that all together and we already have that and we're doing that as we speak. So we're a little ahead of the game. And so we are in compliance with that one recommendation. And the screening is taking place within 48 hours as set forth in Senate Bill 369. And that's basically what I wanted to comment on here. And anything else?
Are you saying Ann?
Yeah, I said Ann. Is there anything else that's the only part I wanted to chime in on?
I just think that I'm giving the, I think that because there is an inherent conflict of interest regarding anything that DITS would do in relation to Story County regarding monies, that is why I gave you an, you know, an idea of monies that could potentially be retrieved down the road, but since they're not funded, I don't want you to think that we're leaving money on the table or because I think that the reason I'm not really talking about that either is because I think there's a conflict. We do have some money left over from what we pay the public defender versus the, based on the formula. But I just didn't want everybody to get caught up in this formula, and we are potentially leaving money on the table because when it was discussed with Ms. Reba that we're not part of the lawsuit, we don't get any money from the lawsuit, how do you expect us to get this money back when you're not funded through your organization to pay us? And she goes, well, you're just going to have to sue the state. And I'm just like, for the amount of money that we have in expert fees, it would cost more money to sue the state. So it's just something that I know that I will, I hope today that you pass this, and I will be reporting back on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Reba, I see your hand up, but I'm going to go to County Manager Osborne before I take public comment.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to speak on any of the justice elements of this. We have the experts in the room that are doing that.
Yep.
But administratively, I've been involved in this process with these folks as well, talking with Carson City. You know, we are the gold standard of providing these services. But I do have concerns here as far as budgetarily, how you prepare for budgeting for this sort of thing when you look at a two-year average. And then you have an administrative type of person making a decision that could cost the county hundreds of thousands of dollars in a case. I'll give an example, obviously not particular to any case, but there was services requested on the East Coast to come and provide professional services in a case when a judge, who's an elected person who answers to the taxpayers of the jurisdiction, and who also, as D.A. Linger talked about, have other reasons to be qualified in those decisions, said in that case, why don't you look at the West Coast and try to find somebody who's qualified? There's probably somebody on the West Coast somewhere that's qualified to perform that function. And that was a decision that was done. And it was a significant cost difference. So I do have concerns there, just budgetary-wise, how we'd be able to prepare under this new program. That's all I have to say. I do want to mention, I do also want to reiterate, we don't have any of this money from this Davis lawsuit coming to us like those counties that were involved in that to provide the offset. Thank you.
Thank you, County Manager. So we're going to go to public comment. Ms. Reba, you have the floor.
Thank you, Commissioners. Good afternoon. Before I go into talking about any specifics, I just wanted to give a little bit of a background information about who we are, why we're here, and what the purpose of the plan is. So I'm the executive director of the Department of Indigent Defense Services, and our mission is to provide support to counties to develop and maintain quality, cost-effective indigent defense systems that meet the needs of local communities and the requirement of the Constitution and state law. And when we're referring to the Constitution, we're referring to the Sixth Amendment of the United States, where it says that in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy
the assistance of counsel for his defense. Our department sits under a board of approximately 13 members, many of whom are appointed by NACO. I believe four are NACO appointees. And you may wonder, why is our department here? This has been touched on a little bit, but in 2018, ACLU brought a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of Nevada's practices regarding indigent defense systems in the rural counties. And rural counties was specifically defined, and Story County is not included in that. In June 3rd of 2019, the Nevada legislature passed Assembly Bill 81, which established the Department of Indigent Defense Services. And on August 11, 2020, a stipulated consent judgment was filed in the Davis case. The stipulated consent judgment obligates the department and the state to do certain items. The department must collect data on indigent defense, establish standard contracts, approve new county contracts, ensure immediate access to applications for indigent defense services, ensure screening for indigency within 48 hours, counsel at first appearances, and our department has been tasked with ensuring that these items are completed. So the way that our department has been able to do that is we've adopted regulations. And although Story County is not one of the counties listed in the rural counties for the Davis lawsuit, they are still a county that has to comply with the regulations that have been adopted by the Board on Indigent Defense Services. So specifically what we're referring to here are regulations sections 22 through 29, which talk about what a plan for the provision of indigent defense services is and what information needs to be in there. And also, because it's been brought up, I'd also like to touch upon the formula for determining that the maximum amount that a county may be required to pay for indigent defense services. A couple of things have been thrown around here by Ms. Langer, so I just want to clarify. The amount that Story County pays for the Nevada State Public Defender, there is a formula for that. And my understanding is that Story County did recently receive a reimbursement, or actually two reimbursements, for the services that were provided by the Nevada State Public Defender. That amount is based upon the estimate of what it would cost to have the Nevada State Public Defender come into Story County. That is separate from the maximum contribution formula that was adopted by the Board on Indigent Defense Services. So what is the maximum contribution formula? The maximum contribution formula is where the board can set the maximum amount that a county should pay for indigent defense services. And this is basically based upon what was spent in fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 19, and the average of that was taken. So the determination that we have at this point is the maximum contribution would be $89,545.52. This is based upon reporting that we've received from Story County in previous annual reporting years. One question that we are asking today is, with this plan adoption, if it is adopted, what's the estimate for the cost of carrying out this plan? Previously, we've been informed that fiscal year 21 would cost approximately $105,987.31. So we did plan on there being a difference of about $16,441.80. All of this difference in funding is subject to approval from the Interim Finance Committee and the Board of Examiners. So what is Indigent Defense Services? Indigent Defense Service means legal representation to an indigent adult who's charged with a public offense, or an indigent child, or an indigent child who's alleged to be delinquent or in need of supervision. So that's the purpose of what the plan is to cover. Story County has the ability to request reimbursements, where they submit quarterly reports on a form, and we've already told this to the county manager. The first form would be due October 15th, and that's where they would set up how much was spent upon or spent for indigent defense services. Anything over and above the maximum contribution, once that's hit by Story County, we would go to the Board of Examiners and Interim Finance Committee to request reimbursement for the county. So you may question, where do these plans come from? And NRS 260.070, it provides that annual reports must be provided to the Department of Indigent Defense Services, including the plan for the next fiscal year and the estimate for the cost. Because our regulations were adopted in March, we gave counties until September 3rd in order to get their plans in place. Story County has asked for additional time, which we have agreed to give them. So what's the purpose of the plan? The purpose is to meet the requirements of reporting under NRS 260.070, to comply with the regulations that are set forth, and to basically create a deliberative process for structuring indigent defense services. We have encouraged counties to consult with their local providers of indigent defense services, so we've encouraged Story County to talk with the Nevada State Public Defender. And the goal is to promote integrity between the attorney and client, freedom from political and undue budgetary influence, and subject to the same judicial supervision to the same extent as a private attorney or a prosecutor. So what needs to be set out in the plan? For example, how are case-related expenses requested and how are they paid? Assembly Bill 480, which will be effective October 1st, recently changed the law. Previously, when indigent defense providers needed funding for experts, they would request the money from the judge. And I think this is what Austin Osborne was discussing, where maybe a public defender came to a judge and the judge said, you know, don't hire an expert on the East Coast, hire one on the West Coast. So that was the process of what had been done previously. With the change in the law, the legislature changed the law to be that those requests would come to our department or our designee. And we have to ensure that that designee is free from undue political and budgetary influence and subject to judicial supervision in the same manner as retained counsel or a prosecuting attorney. We have our website, which has a lot of information, dids.nv.gov, and we've offered to assist in the creation of Story County's plan. We have submitted a review of the plan and some recommendations for changes. There are concerns that this plan does not comply with Temporary Regulation Section 23 because it has the judiciary still acting to approve those expenses. Now, my understanding is that I believe 80 KT411 may or may not have allowed the judiciary to act in such a manner. However, the law has changed since 80 KT411 came out. That's an administrative order from the Supreme Court. The law has changed with the adoption of AD 480, as well as the adoption of our regulations. So we do encourage Story County to consider using our department, which would be no cost to Story County, where we could use for assignment of cases, we could use a list of attorneys that Story County has approved in the assignment of counsel. And the plan can set forth how that counsel is assigned. Right now, I believe it talks about a rotation would be used. In addition, our department could assist with the review of expert investigator witnesses if you would like to make us the designee, or you could place for the Nevada State Public Defender, you could place that authority in the hands of the Nevada State Public Defender, Karen Kreisenbeck, who runs her office and who is diligent in running the office. And like we said, she recently had a refund of money coming back to Story County. So we do have recommendations to bring the plan into compliance with Section 23. Judge Harrington did touch upon that Story County is currently having the screening take place within 48 hours. It just was unclear with how the plan was written because it appears that the court could modify the 48-hour time frame. And that 48-hour time frame is specifically required in a regulation, and that's Regulation 25, subsection 1. So we ask that the plan maybe be modified to reflect what's already happening in Story County and say that that screening will happen within 48 hours. Again, regarding the distribution of cases on 25, subsection 3, the plan has an indigent defense coordinator doing this, but there is some concern because the plan allows the indigent defense coordinator to go outside the list of attorneys. The law recently changed that says that our department has to maintain a list of attorneys that are eligible to provide indigent defense services in Story County, and that's NRS 180.430. Attorneys are required to be on the list to provide services for indigent defense services, and we have approximately 75 attorneys that are on the list. I don't know the specific amount for attorneys that are with Story County, but I could get that information to you if you need it. So we encourage you to take the language out that allows the judge or the selecting person to go outside the list of approved counsel. There is some language missing for Section 25, Subsection 4. I've made a recommendation that the language of Subsection 25, Subsection 4 be added to your plan, and that basically requires attorneys to be present at initial appearances and arraignments. So the first time they see Judge Harrington, an attorney should be there. An attorney is expected by Story County to be prepared to address appropriate release conditions in accordance with relevant statutes, rules of criminal procedure, and case law, and to reflect that a timely initial appearance or arraignment must not be delayed pending a determination of indigency of the defendant. So we'd recommend that that language be added to the plan as is required by the regulations. Again, in Section 27, there is a requirement that the plan set out how there's appropriate resources to conduct an independent investigation and to hire experts. Story County sets forth that they'll employ an indigent defense coordinator, but that indigent defense coordinator will then hand the request to a senior judge for review. The department is unable to allow the judiciary to act in our designee pursuant to the changes in Chapter 7.115, 7.135, 7.145, 171.188. And we encourage that Story County consider using our department as the individual that could review those requests, or again, the state public defender for requests that are coming from her office. And again, if our department fulfills the role, it would be at no charge to Story County. Section 28 requires that plans include language about vertical representation. So basically that the same attorney has the case from the beginning to the end. That's a best practice for attorneys. They are allowed, you know, for administrative tasks to pass it on if the county allows that in their plan. But language needs to be added for that. So that would be our recommendation. And Section 29.1 has certain language in subsection 2 about attorneys advising them not to waive certain rights. I don't see that language, so it asks that that language be added. And then the prompt compensation, the reviewing of the attorney's bills, as has been said before, previously the judges would review the attorney's bills, but with the change with Assembly Bill 480, it is our department or our designee. The way that the plan is written, it is having a senior judge or a judge pro tem review those bills, and that's not an appropriate designee because it is still acting as the judiciary. So it asks Story County to consider using our department or to possibly hire an individual like an attorney that's not taking these cases to review those. Those would be our recommendations, and we are available for any questions. I did want to clarify, our department was able to obtain $1.2 million for the Davis counties. Again, Story County is not one of those counties, but $1.2 million is earmarked in the Interim Finance Committee for the extra cost in putting these plans into place. And what the intention is that when we get the plan as presented by Story County and approved by this board, we'll take it to our Board on Indigent Defense Services. The board will review the adoption, and they can either adopt the plan or they can recommend a corrective action plan. And that's where we would come back and, you know, clarify certain things that may need to be fixed or may not be in compliance. And ultimately, if there's any disagreements as to how the plan should be written, the board is able to make that determination pursuant to Section 19. So I'm available for questions if you have any.
Thank you, Ms. Reba. We obviously extended a little more than the 3 minutes for public comment, but I felt it was necessary to at least get some other information in. So with that stated, is there anybody in the audience or on Zoom that has any public comment regarding this item? DA Langer, is there anything else that you would like to add, seeing as no public comment, before I go to my fellow commissioners for questions?
Yes, I think the main point that has been made here is that Ms. Reba, the person that you just heard talking about her independent agency that's going to approve all of the fees, appoint the conflict counsel, is head of the public defender's office. So she's the face. So when she's saying, well, we're going to be fair, this is what this was designed for, how can you be fair without even the picture of impropriety when you run the public defender's office? So, I mean, she really would have the right when she's saying, well, we're going to be reasonable, there's no charge, we're this, we're that. 95% of our cases are from the public defender's office. And she literally could go over to that office, open a file, and say, look, you who works there, you should have asked for 3 more experts. And we have no control over that. If you have an independent person, which what we're talking about is an independent defense coordinator that she was talking about in our plan, that would be, we would choose an independent person. I have specifically asked Ms. Rebeff for the list of the DIDS qualified, because we have no problem with the DIDS qualification of the attorneys that are going to be doing cases. As you can see, we have not violated anything. As you can see, as Mr. Osborne has pointed out, we are the gold star recommendation. So when we're doing this, we're not sitting here telling you, oh my God, we need some help, because we just have, you know, we've just done it wrong in the past. So with this, Ms. Reba did, you know, say, oh yeah, I'll give you that list. I still haven't seen that qualified group. Indigent defense coordinator, we will discuss that because it's going to be an independent person that's going to decide these things. If we aren't able to use the judges on a case, which I think is so sad, that's the way the jurisprudence system has worked for centuries, starting with common law. The judge is the arbiter between the defense and the prosecution. And now they're thrown out for whatever reason. And now you've got the fox guarding the hen house, because the defense gets to just tell you all of these things that they think that they're entitled to. And I think that is the fatal flaw in their plan, is you can't have it both ways. You cannot be, because you're not independent. So that's what we're going to go after. One of the things that Ms. Reba didn't tell you about in 480 is that, yes, they're saying that DIS is in charge and their designee, but the other part of it at 480 is, if we feel that there is something that needs to be denied because we think that there is an inherent unfairness in it, which I think is going to be every single case, we can object, and then it goes actually to the court, and they make the decision. So she's read some of the sections to you, but she hasn't given it all to you. So with that, I do have some amendments that I'd like to put in, and I would request that you approve the plan that we have set forth to the board today, and see where it goes from here. But one of the things I'd like to say on the plan is that under appointment of counsel 8I, we need to add that, the judges of the court will have no input regarding the selection of counsel in a particular case. So right off the bat, our plan is not to go back to the judiciary. Our plan is to get an independent person. Another thing Ms. Reba has neglected to tell this board is that indigents are entitled to competent counsel. And there has not been one person that has been incompetent as far as cases I've had in the last 8 years coming out of the public defender's office. So when we look at this, I would ask that you approve the plan with that amendment, and that's it.
Thank you, DA Langer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for DA or for Ms. Reba? You're on mute, Lance.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got my head into this thing. I don't have any specific questions for Ms. Reba whatsoever. There's a lot of information that came down and was introduced, and it has far-reaching legal consequences as we listen to the various approaches, if you will, and considerations. The thought that strikes me, Mr. Chairman, is that Ang Langer is our duly elected county district attorney. And she has been in that seat now for many years, and she has a plethora of experience and background, and is very well respected in the industry. And far be it from me to take a position with either Ms. Reba or what's going forward, but I'm very much inclined to support our DA Langer in this issue. And if I'm understanding this correctly, we certainly have the ability to submit our own plan, to defend our own plan, to have our Story County plan heard. And so in that context, if I'm correct in that, as I read the state's decision and the Supreme Court's decision and the compliance, I personally am very, very strongly in support of supporting our DA and following her direction and guidance. And I think that's in the best interest of Story County from my desk.
Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Yeah, if you'll forgive me, I'm a little bit fried, and there's a lot of inside baseball here, and as far as regulations and things that I haven't seen that supposedly we're trying to comply with. Can I try to summarize just to make sure that I understand exactly what's going on here, and then we can make sure that we're on the right track?
Yep,
so my understanding is that this is an update of our plan. This is not a brand new thing, right? We're updating our plan to comply with some new regulations. The situation has changed somewhat because there's a fairly new state agency that's been introduced whose job is to help coordinate, make sure compliance happens, so on and so forth, make sure that these regulations are complied with, so on and so forth. And so we're being asked to approve an update to this plan, which would then be submitted to the state, and they would determine sufficiency. If it's determined not to be sufficient, then it would be sent back with recommendations. It sounds like Ms. Reba is saying that she is recommending some things that in her eyes would help us not have sufficiency going into the front end of the project, or the submittal, but they're different than some of the elements that are in the plan as it currently sits. Is that an accurate assessment of kind of where things stand right now and where it's going?
DA Langer.
Do you want to hear from one of us?
Yeah, DA Langer, please.
This, yes and no. This is the actual first time that we're putting in a plan. There are regulations that are temporary. So they're not even regulations. They're temporary regulations at this point. We don't believe that the plan and the recommendations that Ms. Reba is suggesting to this jurisdiction fit, because she's got a conflict of interest, because the public defender's office, we use them 95% of the time. She's the oversight of the public defender's office, and she also runs DIDS. So when we're submitting our plan, basically what we're going to do when we go in on October 6th is ask whatever board we have there to say, based on the conflict that Ms. Reba has, because they moved the public defender's office from the Department of Health and Safety or Health and Human Services over to DIDS, and you can't have it both ways. You need an independent person, and we will, when we get there, have our independent person, and then they can tell us if they don't like our plan or if it, you know, if they do. And the reality of it is there can be judicial review if they say you're not in compliance, and we're saying your plan doesn't work for us because your group has a conflict of interest that has you're not an independent group, and you are taking money from our county that we're going to protect, because there is no promise of fairness and an individual selection of conflict counsel and the expert fees that she doesn't have any oversight. Their group can just say, okay, county, you have to pay for this person's expert fees because I have determined, we have determined that they are reasonable. So the way that we've got to go about it is say, okay, We can't use judges like you're saying, but we are going to figure out a plan where we have independent indigent coordinator that will pick the council, because we don't, Miss Reba is already, she's the one that makes the decision. Her department makes the decision when the public defender's office is disqualified. And she's part of the public defender's office. They're disqualified. And then she's now the person that gets to turn around and hire the conflict counsel. First of all, where I think it's an inherent conflict is that now she's looking at it, going, man, I'm head of the public defender's office. I want the easier case of the two. I want to give that conflict. I'm going to get a conflict counsel. I'm going to give him the harder case or her the harder case, and the county can pay for that person. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that she would do it, but I am saying it doesn't matter because it is a picture of impropriety to start. And then I'll see if she does do it. Same with expert fees. On expert fees, she can say, okay, gee, so-and-so from my office, man, I know the facts of this case. You should have asked for three more experts. Now, if you had somebody that was independent, that did not know the facts of the cases in the public defender's office because you're head of it, that would be fine. But that's not what we have here. And that is what we're going to talk about, because there's just an inherent conflict. That's why we want to submit our plan. And then Ms. Reba can go and say to her board what she thinks is insufficient in our plan that we think is a good one. We have worked hours and hours and hours and hours on our plan that is consistent with Carson, because we stand in a different position because we both use the public defender's office. That makes us different, one. Two, we're not part of the Davis lawsuit, so we never had indigent problems, and we don't get any of the Davis money. Number three, when Ms. Reba says we are going to get our money back, they're not funded. So those are the things that we'd like to at least get our plan there. These are only temporary regulations. They are not the actual regulations. That's why we're trying to get to this board to point out to them something that they obviously overlooked, because you would not have somebody that's supposed to be independent, that's supposed to not have a dog in the fight, be head of the public defender's office that we use 95% of the time.
So
that is why...
So, it's quite all right. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, if you're amenable to it, hear from Ms. Reba again to respond to some of the conversation that's gone on, just to help me see the big picture. But before we do that, I was hoping that D.A. Langer would repeat the recommended amendment, because I think that's important. I think it's the crux of one of the important issues here.
All right. So before we go to Ms. Reba, go ahead, Ann.
Under H, I add an I that the judges of the court will have no input regarding the selection of counsel in a particular case.
Anything else, Ann, before I go to Ms. Reba?
No, that's it.
All right. Marcy, I saw you had your hand up.
Thank you. I just wanted to have the opportunity to let the commissioners know. The reason that we came today is we want to just let the commissioners know that there is some required language that has to be in the plan that's missing. And that's the purpose of the public comment of what I brought to you today. There is a requirement, like I said, that plans have to have that vertical representation language, and that language is missing. So I would encourage you to consider that. There is that requirement in the regulation that you need to discuss initial appearances, who's going to be there, and language that they have to provide to their attorneys. I want to make sure that Story County's plan, our goal is to have it be in compliance from the get-go, but we do have some concerns, and that's why we're bringing it to you here today. The choice of who reviews these bills and who assigns the cases, it's the department or its designee. And we are open to talking with Story County as to who they feel that designee should be. But I think it needs to be an agreed upon person and senior judges, because it is part of the judiciary. And because Regulation 23 says that, you know, the public defender should have the same oversight as them. That's why we're bringing up that senior judges would not be an appropriate designee. for that decision-making authority. Story County, if they choose to, could bring to us and start the discussion of an appointed council administrator. But I think Ann Langer brought it up earlier in the fact that there was five cases where there's conflicts. And would it be cost effective to have an appointed council administrator, or could you use our department? Like we said, the plan sets forth how cases are distributed. It wouldn't be the department choosing who the next attorney is. The county sets forth the plan in their written, in the section that discusses the distribution of cases. Currently in the plan, that's on page 5, section 8D, that says that the indigent defense coordinator will use best efforts to balance the number of cases and to use a fair rotation of the system. So what we'd be running off of is the list of appointed counsel that have been approved. Story County can look at that list and determine if they're fine with everyone that's on there and, you know, have a rotation from that. That's up to this board and in their plan. But we would just consider, or have the board consider, using our department since there are so few conflicts. Ms. Langer does bring up that it would be our department taking the easy case away from, or giving the easy case to the public defender and giving the hard case to someone else. Again, that's could be set forth in the plan. Story County has a state public defender, which the plan should set forth that they're at all initial appearances and cover all initial appearances. And if there's two co-defendants, then we could be notified by the court to appoint or to select the counsel from the list. The court could notify us which defendant it is, or the plan could set forth that the public defender could notify us. That's all in the county plan. Those are all decisions that the plan could set forth. But as currently written, the appointed counsel administrator would make the decision of which gets the public defender and which gets the appointed counsel. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. The plan can set forth that the public defender is appointed to all cases. We don't need an appointed counsel coordinator to tell us that, because it can just be an automatic thing that it goes straight to the public defender. And if there's a conflict, the public defender can file a motion with the judge, and then the judge could let our department know, or the appointed counsel administrator know, that counsel needs to be selected. So what I'm trying to let you know is I'm open to conversations about this. There is some language that's missing, and I just want to make sure that the commissioners are aware of that, and I'd encourage you to consider adding that to the plan before it's submitted to our board on October 6th.
Thank you, Ms. Reba. So I'm going to chime in here.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So, DA Langer, we approve today's plan as is. What repercussions would there be if that plan gets submitted and indeed this verbiage that Ms. Reba is suggesting we add in there isn't in there? Are we just simply going to get it back and be told to amend our plan?
Well, so, and I don't agree that there's missing language. She thinks it's missing language. I don't. So that's one of the things that, so we go to the board, right? We're submitting our plan. This is our plan. Now we submit it to the board. And then when we go to the board on the October 6th meeting, we say, here's our plan. And by the way, we got I'm not even going to go there. So then they say, no, you're not in compliance, you know, with the regulations under DIDS. And then I say, we want the law. We want the law to be changed, your regulations, because they're only temporary at this point. So they can be changed. They are not the regulations. So when we go in with our plan is, because I don't need to hide anything from Ms. Reba, we have gone up against each other. She was the person in Story County from the public defender's office for 6 of the years I've been here. But my point on it is that we're going to say that Story County should be exempt. We should be exempt from the plan because DIDS runs the public defender's office. There's a conflict of interest. And hopefully they'll get it and say yes. And hopefully they'll get it because they know the public defender's office has not been part of the Davis lawsuit. And then some of these issues that Ms. Reba brings up, we do a lot of it anyway. And so we'll see where we're out of compliance if we are. But too much talking. So then we get it back, and then we decide what we're going to do. And we're going to decide if we feel that it's something that needs to be changed, or it's something that we need to get judicial review on, based on the statute and the regulations. And so it could be a short battle, it could be a long battle. This is the first time that we are going to this board, because this is a brand new set of regulations that aren't even, they're temporary at this point. So that's why we're taking such a hard stand on this, is that we're not going to just roll over under these conditions and say, sure, Ms. Reba, we love the fact that you run the public defender's office that we use 95% of the time. And, oh, that's right, you get to spend our money without any oversight. And that is just wrong in government. There needs to be checks and balances. So that is why we are, we have our plan. Carson's is very similar, and we'll see where it goes. But that's our next step. We're not just saying, accept our plan. We're saying, now we're going to go to the October 6th meeting if you accept the plan. And there are no repercussions. It's not that we're going to get penalized. These are temporary regulations that hopefully we can convince somebody over there of the problems that they have. And they will see the justice that needs to be done for everyone in this situation, including the indigents. So that's where we are.
Thank you, D.A. Langer. So do you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say this, Mr. Chairman. One thing is clear to me, and that is crafting the specifics of a fairly complex plan like that in a meeting like this is not a very efficient way to do it. I will note that we have another meeting before that October 6th date. And so, I see that D.A. Langer feels strongly about this. I hear what Lance says about backing her up on this. I think my preference is to go ahead, to move to pass it as is, to include the amendment as recommended, and then to... If there's further discussion to be had, to have some time to do that, because unfortunately I didn't get the email from Ms. Reba until 2:00 this afternoon, which doesn't leave a whole lot of time to do any sort of crafting, which, you know, again, not super efficient to do so in a setting like this.
And it wasn't available to the public either, so there was an issue with that document.
Well, see, and that there's a problem right there. You can see what we're up against, somebody that, because I was hoping that this did not happen, so we're going to have to address it. I hope Keith is there, that if she sent this, she sent it to everyone except me. At 1:49, I find out through other people that what she's going to do. It just goes to show you, she thought she'd catch me flat-footed, but... Too many hours in this thing.
All right. Well, let me, I appreciate everybody's comments. I think Vice Chairman Mitchell, you hit the nail on the head. I think approval of this plan, if indeed there are issues, which the DA has brought up, that DIDS needs to work out, I think you're right. We approve this plan. If they come back and say there's issues, we can address it. At a later date. If we want to look into, you know, something else, we can put it on the agenda before the October 6th meeting. And
yeah, we can carry on the conversation. I don't see an easy resolution that involves substantial changes to what's been presented right now. And so I'm certainly open to further conversation with Ms. Reba to try to see if there's something that we can work out in the meantime. If not, like you said, then... we send it as is, we get a kick back, and we deal with it then.
Yep.
So.
I that works for me.
So.
So with that said, we know where Lance is at. If you're comfortable, go ahead and make a motion.
I will. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Story County Indigent Defense Services Plan designed to meet the requirements of the state of Nevada in accordance with NRS 260.070. and to comply with Nevada Supreme Court's orders in ADKT 411 with the one amendment to add an item 8I stating that judges of the court will have no input as to the selection of counsel and to authorize staff to massage the wording on that amendment as needed to make it right.
There's a motion. We have a second.
I would prefer to strike the last language of the amendment that was added, and it would be my preference to approve the recommended motion as submitted by DA Langer.
Okay, well, Lance, I think the DA Langer is the one that asked us to add that amendment.
Commissioner Gilman, I asked that additional language be added to be clear that we are not, that we are complying and we are not using judges.
I'm good with that then, Anne.
Thank you.
But my apologies. And Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to second the motion as submitted.
Okay, great. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, DA Langer. Thank you, Ms. Reba. Much appreciate the conversation. All right. Moving right along to item number 12. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to apply up to $250,000 for development of preliminary engineering designs and environmental studies as required for the application of funds by the Federal Economic Administration's American Rescue Plan grants. Funds in the amount of $250,000 were allocated to sewer and water projects on December 15, 2020 under ordinance number 20-317. Laura.
Thank you. For the record, Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator. So we will be applying for grants through the Federal Economic Administration. Honestly, we're going to apply for as many grants as we have time to do. We have a lot of water and sewer projects, so the grants are quite extensive. So as many as myself and Honey Tapley were working together to submit these grants. We're combining projects as we can within the sewer and water system, projects that need to be done. But as stated, with each one of these grant applications, a preliminary engineering design and environmental study are required simply to apply for the funds. So we don't anticipate being close to that $250,000, but we would like to use part of that to create these requirements and get them submitted with the grant applications. I am seeing a pattern in these requirements, so as additional funding becomes available from the federal level, we feel that these will just allow us to be ready for not only the Federal Economic Administration's grants, but also other federal grants that are coming down as well.
All right. Thank you, Laura. Is there any public comment regarding item number 12? Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura?
I do not. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Laura, do you feel confident that the expenditure on the front end is reasonable in proportion to the expected amount of the grants that are coming back? In other words, it's not a risky dollar for dollar exchange, but there's substantially more potential for bringing money back in with these grants than what would be required up front for each of them?
I'm really confident in that we are making a wise choice with our dollar expenditures. Now, this particular grant that we are going to apply for, our first project is a $6 million project. So it is a competitive grant. So there is that. It's not guaranteed. It's competitive. But for a cost of about $25,000, we hope to get $6 million. We are seeing this sort of as a pattern with requirements from the federal level. They are granting a lot of money. They are expecting a whole lot of information, and they want to be confident that we know what we're doing and we can manage these projects and we can spend these funds wisely. So the preliminary engineering design is what is going to show the federal agencies that we have fully reviewed the plan and thought out the plan and have come up with the best way to fix these sewer and water problems.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thank you.
County Manager Osborne.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify for Commissioner Mitchell as well that regardless, even as Laura said, with these grants, these are engineering that needs to be done on the projects anyway. They would be applicable regardless of where funding may come from in the future. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm confident we'll be getting grants.
Chairman, if I may.
Hold on, Jennifer. Laura was just wrapping
okay.
up.
Okay.
I was just going to say.
Sorry.
I'm confident that we will be getting funding, hopefully through this, but we are working closely with the Porter Group, and they're advising us on funding that's coming down and how to apply for it. But if for some horrible reason we didn't, we would still need these in the future, even if the county had to pay for the projects.
Good.
Very good. Yeah, thank you.
All right, Jennifer, you have the floor.
I just wanted to make a comment that in the infrastructure ordinance, we did plan for preliminary engineering and those kind of reports to get any one of these water and sewer projects started, and that's where this funding is coming from. So we have thought of this. It just came around a little quicker than we thought.
Fair enough. Any other questions for Laura? Commissioner Gilman?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I know it's a little bit unorthodox, but since we have Des here, I don't know if this is an area of his expertise, but I'd be curious if he has any sort of input on if he thinks that this kind of an approach increases his organization's involved in acquiring federal funding. So I just thought if you had anything to add, I'd certainly welcome that.
Just come up to the podium.
Since you're here.
Might as well get our money's worth, right?
Right, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Des Craig from WNDD for the record. And I fully endorse what Laura has said, that if you're going to go after federal money, particularly from the Economic Development Administration, they will demand the PERs done and all the due diligence in advance. So this would be money well spent.
Very good. Thank you. Not that I was doubting. I just figured we don't get visitors very often, so we might as well take advantage.
And you're using that money twice. So I like
know.
Yep. That $28.50 is looking good. Yep. All right. So if there are no other questions, I don't have any questions for Laura at this moment. So if you're comfortable.
Yeah, I'd be happy to make a motion. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve application of up to $250,000 for development of preliminary engineering designs and environmental studies as required for the application of funds by the Federal Economic Administration's American Rescue Plan grants. Funds in the amount of $250,000 were allocated to sewer and water projects on December 15th, 2020, under Ordinance Number 20-317.
I'll second that motion.
There was a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Des.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Possible, a short recess would be appreciated.
Sure. How many minutes do you want?
Five will work.
Five will work. All right. We're going to take a recess and reconvene at 6:03, not like
Yeah, that's five straight county minutes, not five legislative minutes.